Good morning, everyone. As we mentioned a few weeks ago, we're working on 12 talks for Rishis, one for each month for the coming year, for two purposes. One is their first Sunday of the month, Homa, at the Spiritual Park, where they're getting 300 to 400 people are attending now every month. So it's a pretty good group, and part of the main focus, of course, is on Homa, burning prayers, and lots of beautiful chanting, singing, bhajan singing. But also, Manon Marimutu gives a talk in Creole. So we thought it would be nice to create 12 subjects that would work well in talks there, very practical subjects, something you can go away with and have something to do. There's a strong message, okay, I'm going to go home, I'm going to do this. That's the idea. It gets down to that level. It just doesn't change your thinking, it changes your actions. So also we have an opportunity from Dr. Pillai, who publishes a Hindu newspaper, a monthly newspaper called Vanakam, said he'd give us a full page every month. So that's a pretty generous offer. So I thought we could have this same talk, probably in English, as part of that page. So here goes. Here's kindly speech, Mauritius version. One of Gurudeva's key teachings is that we are a soul, a divine being. However, Gurudeva also stresses that we are a soul that is living in a physical body, an embodied soul. Therefore, in addition to the soul, we also have an instinctive and an intellectual nature. Gurudeva describes this as the three phases of the mind, superconscious or spiritual, or the soul, intellectual or mental, and instinctive or physical, emotional. It is the instinctive nature, the animal-like nature, which contains the tendencies to become angry and harm others. Therefore, part of making progress on the spiritual path is learning to control the instinctive mind. This is where the yamas, the 10 ethical restraints, come into play. The yamas give us a list of tendencies we need to restrain. The classical depiction in Hinduism of restraint is the charioteer pulling back on the reins of a team of 3, 4, or 5 horses to keep them under control. One of the uses of the yamas is as a convenient reference list to see how well the instinctive mind is being controlled. Adults can use this for self-examination as well as a guide for thinking about their children's behavior and refining it. The first yama, of course, is non-injury, ahimsa, not harming others by thought, word, or deed. Ahimsa, non-violence, as we all know, is a central principle of Hinduism. Of course, most of us do not indulge in physical violence, therefore we may conclude that ahimsa presents no challenge to us. However, let's look more closely at the definition of ahimsa, which is not harming others by thought, word, or deed. This points out that we need to practice ahimsa in our speech and even our thoughts. An important attitude to have to make progress on this spiritual path is that we need to focus on our weak points and strive to improve them. Furthermore, we need to hold the attitude that no matter how well we are doing in a particular practice, such as ahimsa, we can still do better. We can always find a way to further refine our behavior. Thus, in this talk, we are focusing on speech, specifically looking at words that hurt, and looking for ways we can further improve our speech so that it is less hurtful. The common forms of hurting others with our speech are joking, teasing, gossiping, and backbiting. Four ways. Let's look at some examples illustrating joking and teasing. First example. Someone has a special privilege or position that we don't. So we say, he got to skip the work today that we did. He has really got it easy. Second example. Someone speaks English with a foreign accent. You repeat back his mispronunciation and laugh. Third example. Someone has difficulties, such as in multiplication. When she is having trouble making a calculation, you make fun of her. The rationale for this behavior is, I'm just joking, trying to be humorous, creating some laughter. However, in truth, your words are himself. You are harming another through your speech and justifying it by saying, you were just joking. Gurudeva has given us a very useful guideline for seeing if our speech is appropriate. It provides us a fourfold test. Speak only that which is true, kind, helpful, and necessary. I know of some of Gurudeva's devotees who initially took this guideline a bit too literally and decided most speech was unnecessary. Almost stopped speaking altogether. However, that was a misinterpretation. In terms of joking and teasing, the first two ways of hurting through words, the first test to apply is the test of helpfulness. In other words, everything I say to others should be designed to help them do better in some way. Let's look at our three examples again and see if any of them pass the test of being helpful. First example. Someone has a special privilege or position that we don't, so we say, he got to skip the work today that we did. He has really got it easy. Second example, speaking English with a foreign accent and you repeat back his mispronunciation and laugh. Third example, woman has difficulty in multiplication and she's having difficulty making the calculation, you make fun of her. Certainly none of these three pass the test of being helpful. Let's take another example, this time of someone who is overweight, who is a friend or family member. We are genuinely concerned that it is best for his health to lose some weight. Therefore, our words pass the test of being helpful because we have the person's well-being at heart here. But to simply tell him straight out, you are fat, fails the test of being kind. We need to express our concern, our desire to be helpful, more gently, such as, it might be good for your health if you lost a little weight. So that's combining kindliness and helpfulness. We're saying that we need to make sure in being helpful, we're also being kindly. Next is gossip. Gossip is talking about the details of others' personal lives when they are not present for the delight of it. Gossip is like creating and watching our own television soap opera. It clearly fails the test of being helpful, as it is designed to entertain the participants at the expense of the individual being gossiped about. There is no desire to help that individual. Some wives regularly indulge in the practice of gossiping about their husbands. While their husbands are at work, they spend a great deal of time on the phone or on the internet with other wives, sharing at length the details of their husband's life. Gossip about one's husband, of course, fails three tests: kind, helpful, and necessary. Husbands don't usually gossip, but they do tease their wives. And that too fails the three tests of being kind, helpful, and necessary. Husbands need the support of their wives to be successful. Wives need the support of their husbands to be secure and happy. This can be achieved through controlling our speech and making sure it passed all four of the tests. Last but not least, of the four ways of hurting others through words is backbiting. Finding faults in another and sharing this finding with others is a hobby many enjoy. It is so much easier to look for faults in others and complain about them than to see the same faults in us and change them. The Tirukkural devotes an entire chapter to avoidance of backbiting, which shows men's nature hasn't changed much over 2,000 years. Two verses. If men perceived their own faults as they do the faults of others, could misfortune ever come to them? Just one verse. Of course, this fails our speech tests of kind, helpful, and necessary. The truth is that unless we are responsible for someone else's upbringing or training, such as parents to their children or supervisors to their staff, then it is best to ignore the faults of others and indeed focus on finding and improving our own faults. In conclusion, remember, we always have a choice. We can choose to hurt others by joking, teasing, gossiping, or backbiting. Or we can choose to talk about others in ways that are respectful, kind, and constructive. And above all, remember Gurudeva's key. Speak only that which is true, kind, helpful, and necessary. Om Namah Shivaya.